Begin the card daf Masechtas Becharis daf Lamed Hey. Begin four lines down at the top of the Yomit, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the halacha of that we're discussing that a Bechar that has a mum that doesn't have to be brought as a carbon. However, there is a question regarding how did that Bechar get that blemish, whereas we said it has to be identified by a mumcha, someone professional, to ascertain that it is considered a mum kvu, a permanent blemish. However, our Mishnah discusses regarding, as we said in the previous Mishnah, regarding the questionability, if someone does it deliberately, then we penalize them. Our Mishnah continues that discussion. It says in the Mishnah, Maisa bezachar shel rechelim zaken. There was an incident with the male of a sheep that was an older sheep. Now, Besaira medildal, and its hair was hanging down because it was never shorn, the hair, and it was very old. Now, v'ro kaster echad, there was one soldier that was there, and he saw of them, and they said, Mati v'shal zeh, what's going on? Why did they leave this sheep to get so old? It's an old sheep, its hair was never shorn. So amalei b'chayuhu, they said, this is the firstborn animal. And ve'en anishchet, elm ken hayi b'mum. The halacha is no base of Mikdash, that the only time you could do anything with this animal, you can't work with it, you can't shear its wool, unless it develops a blemish. And here this animal never developed a blemish, and therefore it has long hair and it's old. So natla pagim, so this soldier took a spear, v'tsarim aznai, and he pierced its ear, and this incident came from the sages, and they said that it's permitted, because you can't say that this non-Jew, his intention was to permit it, because he didn't know by making a blemish that it's going to make it permitted to be slaughtered. Maybe it would be only if it happens by itself. So there, because he would wonder, why didn't the Jews go ahead and make a blemish? Obviously it has to happen by itself. So we don't assume that he did it to go ahead and permit it. And therefore, that's not going to go ahead and make it forbidden as if he's trying to do something deliberately to help out the Jews. Now, the Achar she'tiru, and after then that he heard that the sages permitted it, so halach v'tzirim ba'azne b'charizachem, so he found all these older animals that he realized they were firstborn animals, and he went and pierced the ears of all those other ones, v'asra. And then they said they're forbidden, because that he was doing deliberately to permit those b'chariz for the Jews. Similarly, pam achas, one time, there were these children that were playing around the field. As kids would do, they tied the tails of the sheep one to the other. And then when they started pulling, one of the tails of the sheep got pulled off. It turned out that was the firstborn animal, and now it's blemished. So the story came from the sages, and they permitted it because it was unlike the previous Mishnah, no adult had deliberately went and made a blemish. So the children saw that now that permitted, the adults were excited now that this firstborn animal is permitted to be used. So so they went and they tied together the tails of all those other firstborn animals. And then although the tails fell off, the sages said it's forbidden. As the Mishnah says, that called this the rule. Whatever it was done with intention to make it blemished with the intention of permitting it. So that's us, so that's forbidden. And here, both by the non-Jew and by the children, the second times were already deliberately. Shalei ledas mutter, but the first time where it was not what they had intention, they didn't realize it could be permitted, therefore, there was permitted. Now, the Gemara wonders, the Mishnah told us, pam acheres hayu v'chulu, another time, there was such an incident with the children. So the Gemara says, utzricha, we have to say both of these halachas, which seemingly the same idea, regarding the non-Jewish soldier and the children. Because Diash min Avi Kacham, had we only said the first case regarding the non-Jew where they permitted the first time he made a hole in the ear of that firstborn, is because delay us le misach. And that is because we can't say that we're concerned, oh, well, what's going to happen? We're going to permit it. The non-Jew is going to come to do it again. And he's going to make blemishes in kachem, which is forbidden. Because regarding the problems of a non-Jew, we're not concerned that, oh, he's going to be now doing inappropriate things. Because he always does things that are prohibited. Now, so therefore we're not concerned to say that we're going to permit it, that he's going to do it another time. But if we permit that of the minors, we're concerned, as we see actually that happened in the story, that they're going to continue to do that, which is a prohibited activity. And we don't want this child to be doing things that are forbidden. Therefore, we have to tell that no, even by the child, the first time he did it, that it is permitted. Now, v'yashmin katan, had we only said the second case of the minors, mishum de le'osu l'chlufi b'gadol. We would say, okay, we're going to permit it the first time he did it because it's not going to be confused with an adult, because whoever's going to see that the sages permitted the blemish that happened through the children, he's not going to say, oh, that if an adult makes a blemish, it's also going to be permitted because no one confuses an adult with a minor. But regarding a non-Jew, that could be confused with an adult Jew. I would say that no, don't permit it when the non-Jew does it, because it looks like an adult is doing it, and that even if a Jew adult does it, that it would permit it, which, as we said in the previous Mishnah, it's forbidden. So Tzricha, there we have to say, no, but since this non-Jew did not do it with that intention, he was not aware that it's going to be permitted, therefore, there also the first time he did it was permitted. Now, Amrav Chizr Amrav Katina, he qualifies, and he says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn in the first case of the Mishnah that they permitted the firstborn animal that the non-Jew had made a hole in his ears. El da Amrule, only if they had told the officer that, oh, you wonder why this animal is so old with its hair so long? Because it cannot be slaughtered, Elim kein hayibaymum, unless if it had developed a blemish, which that's the wording sounds like, that if it would have a blemish by itself, where you cannot say that from their words the non-Jew understood, oh, they want me to make a blemish and that'll permit it. No, because hayibaymum sounds like it has to happen by itself. And only there, when he did it, that would go ahead and permit it. But if they had told him, imnasa baymum, that if it's only permitted if a blemish is made in it, which sounds like even by a human, oh, then that's commando amuli. That's already as if they had told him, zil avid beimum adami, that you should go ahead and make the blemish, and then they would be forbidden. Because that's like as if he's being told by them, and that his intention is to go ahead and permit it for them. Whereas Amar Rava, he disagrees. He says, no, mechti letzi. Memelahu. Either way, it's by default, where the non-Jew didn't know that it's going to be permitted through his action. His intention was not to permit it. So mali haya mali nasa. What's the difference if they say that if it would develop a blemish or if a blemish would be made in it, he still doesn't know because he's wondering, hey, if it could be done, then why wouldn't the Jews do it? Ella rather says, Rabbi nasa name memelehu, even if they would say that a blemish is made in it, that would also be understood to him, possibly that it has to happen by itself. And therefore, Valashino, there's no difference. He doesn't realize that his making the hole is going to permit it. And therefore, the first time, either way, would have been permitted. Now, the Mishnah concluded, says, Zachal, this is the rule. Kol shehu ladas aser. Whatever is done with intention to permit it is forbidden. Says the Gemara, Lasuyim, I already said the cases. What's that coming to include? Says the Gemara, Lasuya grama, with the causing indirectly. And that is, if let's say that they place dough or dried figs on the ears of the firstborn animal so that a dog should come and bite that off and take it and then make a blemish, that since that was done with intention, even though it was done indirectly, that is also going to be forbidden, and then the firstborn animal is not going to be permitted with that. And when the Mishnah said, Shalei Ladas, and if it's done without intention, it's permitted, that's Lasuya Masich Lefitume. That's coming to include if they were just talking innocently. And that is, the officer didn't ask them, hey, what's going on with this older sheep? Rather, they were just talking innocently. They were saying, hey, you see that sheep? Look at that sheep. That sheep is ancient, and because it's never going to be permitted unless it develops a blemish. And they didn't have any intention that the officer should overhear and know this halacha and go ahead and make a blemish. That's what's saying, since it was Shalei Ladas, that they're also, it would be permitted. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continue on this theme regarding if this is considered a deliberate blemish which would not permit it, or unintentional which would then permit the firstborn animal to be utilized. So the Mishnah says, Hayy b'char, if there was a firstborn ram that was goring, and it was right for you, it was chasing after a person to gore him, and batai, so the person kicked the firstborn animal, v'as b'mum, and made a blemish, harezo sheikhtin lav, that you could go ahead and slaughter that animal now that it's blemished, even if that was a kayin, because his intention to kick it was just to save himself, not to go ahead and make a blemish, and therefore that is a blemish that we don't penalize and be permitted to go ahead and slaughter that animal now. Now, Amra Papa, he qualifies this halach, and he says, Leishona ele shabata b'shas radifa. But he only said if the defendant, if this victim, went and kicked the firstborn, the bechayr, when it was chasing him. Avalach radifa lai, but if it finished running after him and stopped running after him, and then he kicks it, that would not go ahead and be permitted. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, that then his intention not to save himself. Says Gemara, no, Ma'od Tamei, what would you say? Tzairoi, his pain that the B'chai was running after him. Hu demadker, this person was recalling, and therefore he was kicking it not to develop a blemish, but as in getting back in the animal. Kamash Mola, that's to say that no, it's only during the chase that it would be permitted, but afterwards it would be forbidden. Now, actually, Ikadami, there are those that say that no, actually, Omer Papa, he says, Loitem b'shas radifa in. Don't say that only when it's chasing it, that then it's permitted, Avashle b'shas radifa loy, but after that it finished chasing, then it wouldn't be permitted. Ela afala achar radifa nami. Even if it finished chasing it and then he kicked it, it still would be permitted to go ahead and eat it based on that blemish. My time, what's the reason? Because Tsaruhu Dematkir. He's recalling his pain. He's not doing it to make it a blemish. He's just kicking the animal back for what it did to it. And since his intention was not to blemish it, it would be permitted. Another related halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, says, Mutl hatl mum bebuchar. It's permitted to go ahead and make a blemish in the firstborn animal. Koidim shiyotz la'avar oilam, before it came out into the airspace of the world, because a firstborn animal is not sanctified unless, until it gets sanctified by the womb, which is when it comes out. In the utero, it's not sanctified. So if they make a blemish before it comes out, that would permit it, and that would not be a forbidden act. Now, Amar Rava, he qualifies, he says, Gadya, by a kid goat, it's bu'udnei, if you go ahead and make a nick in its ear. And the reason for that is because the kid goat has long ears. And before the whole head of the animal comes out, the ears are visible. And you could make a blemish in it, because as long as the whole head doesn't come out, it's not considered born yet, and not sanctified, and therefore it's still permitted to make a blemish. Imra besifvose, but a lamb would be in its lips. Because there, its lips are visible first, but its ears are small and they're not visible until the whole head would have come out already, and therefore that wouldn't be an option to go ahead and make a blemish before it's born, because the ears would already come out after the whole head is out. Igadami, there are those who say that no, imr nami bu'unne. You know, you could even make the blemish before it's sanctified in the lamb by its ears, because imr derech tzedav nafik, you could say that it's coming out through its temples on its side, not from the front, and therefore you would still have the ears visible before the whole head comes out, and that would also be an option to blemish it before it's born, before it's sanctified. Now, related discussion, Amar Rava. Rava says, if a firstborn animal has a blemish in its mouth, and when it's achal, when it eats, v'loy michazi, and you don't see that blemish when it eats, however, in spite of that, when it's pay, when it screams, and then it's opening up its mouth very wide, and then umechzi, then it's visible, have a moment that would still qualify as a revealed blemish, which would allow one to slaughter on it and to be considered a blemish. Whereas the Gemara had said, the Gemara says later on, the Flamin Zayin and Aleph, that we only slaughter an animal on the permanent blemish that's begully, that's revealed. If it's hidden, we don't. So that's what he's saying, that even though normally you don't see when it eats, but when it would open up its mouth wide, you would see it, so then that's going to be considered a mumsha begully. So now says the Gemara, my kamash malon, what's Rabbi teaching us? Tanina, this is a Mishnah we learned later on, the Flamin Tesla and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hachutin, the gums, Hachitainis, the outer ones, meaning those that are in the front, opposite one's nose, Shenifkemu, if part of them were taken off, or Vishenigmemu, which is that they were cut in the width on the top, very deep cut, but none of it is missing, either one of these are considered blemish, and the reason why they're considered blemish is because one could see those gums in the front. Now, Hapanimius, the inner ones, which are that the big teeth, which are called the molars, are in those gums, which are all the way in the back, shenekru. They're only if they got totally uprooted, then it's going to be considered a blemish. Why? As the Gemara explains, my taima, what's the reason that the inner ones are considered a blemish, even if it's uprooted, but it's all the way back, you don't see it? Is la misham dechik pai merzi? Isn't it because when it screams, then it's seen? Which, it would only be considered a blemish if they're totally uprooted, but if they're just a little bit cut or these two of nifkemu or nigmemu, then that wouldn't be so recognizable because it's always stuck there in the back of the mouth. But one thing you see is that the Mishnah is obviously saying this halacha brava, that even though it's all the way in the back, but when they would scream and open up its mouth wide, even though the molar's in the back, you'd see that it's missing, that would be considered mumsh bukali. So that's really Rava's halacha. So my papa says, yeah, Rava namit tamit demasnit mefarish. Rava is explaining that reasoning of the Mishnah that we had just asked. My time in Nekra have a mumma. Why is if it's uprooted, it's a blemish for the molars, but you don't see those gums all the way in the back. So it should, even if it's uprooted, it should be considered not a mum shabukali. That's what Rav was saying. Mishum dechipo mechzi, because when it screams, it's visible, and therefore that's why he was saying similarly this halacha of even if it eats and you don't see it, but poi mechzi have a mumma to explain that Mishnah that's still considered a mum shabukali. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme regarding the doubt, regarding was this blemish made deliberately or not, which would then be related to if you're permitted to slaughter it based on that blemish or not. So it says the Mishnah, Kol ha-mumen ha-ru'uyin lovi b'dei adam. Any blemish which is possible to have been inflicted by a person, where you could say a person did it, for example, if the eye is blinded, if the hand is cut off, or the ear is cut, is nicked. So then, raye yisrael neman. The non-Kahanim shepherds are trusted to say that it happened by itself. But Royim Kohanim Einen Nemonim. But the Kohanim shepherds, they're not trusted because they're suspected regarding these laws. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what does it mean, Raya Yisrael, or what does it mean, Raya Kehanim? Does it mean the non-Kohanim shepherds, or the shepherds of non-Kohanim? Now, this that the Mishnah is talking specifically regarding the blemishes that are ruined love of the Adam that could have been inflicted by a person, is because there are certain blemishes that obviously were not man-made. For example, if it has five legs, or if one eye is bigger like the size of a calf, or one smaller like the size of a goose, where those are blemishes where the person's not suspected that they made, that generally those are genetic, so that there we wouldn't have a question, but it's regarding those that could be inflicted by a person, so then they're suspect. So Araya Yisrael are Neman, but the Araya Kehanim are not Neman. That's the Tanna Kamma. Shemming of Lilaim, he says, Neman hu al shel chaver, he is trusted regarding his friend's animal, but ve'ein Neman al shel atzmai, he's not trusted regarding his own. Reb Meir, he says, Hachashar al adav, whoever suspect regarding an area in halacha, loy danav lemeida, he cannot adjudicate such a court case, he cannot testify regarding it. And the Gemara is going to explain these two opinions of Reb Shimon Leil and Reb Meir. Now, regarding the statement of the Tanna Kamma, we have Machlekes Reb Yechon Reb Elazar. Chad Amar once says that the mission that said that Roy Yisrael are nemanim, what does that mean? It means Roy Yisrael, it means that the shepherd himself, he's a non-Kohen, and Bei Kehanim, Nemanim, even if he's a shepherd of a family of Kehanim, meaning that the firstborn is owned by the Kehanim, but the non-Kohen shepherd, he's trusted to say that this blemish was not inflicted, it happened by itself, and therefore that would permit it to be utilized by the family of the Kehanim, because the legim lechashinan, we're not concerned for eating purposes to suspect the shepherd to say, hey, maybe really it was inflicted by a person, and it was done deliberately. But the shepherd is lying, and he's coming to permit it because he wants that his master, the kohen, should slaughter it, and to feed him from it too. And that we don't suspect that he's going to lie because of maybe getting a piecemeal from that bechor that now has a blemish. Now, this that the Mishnah said that Roy Kehanim are not Nemanim, what the Tanna Kamma meant to say was, Roy Kehanim, if the shepherds themselves are Kehanim, Bei Yisrael, if the owners are even non-Kehanim, Ein Nemanim, The shepherd kohen is not trusted if the firstborn is owned by Yisraelim, because this shepherd who's a kohen is suspected that maybe he himself had went and inflicted the blemish. Because Meimar Amar is going to say, Kiven de Karachna Bey, since I'm the shepherd and I put in all the effort, Leishavik Lidi Divi of Lachrini, not going to leave me, the shepherd who works for this family, and give it to anyone else. So therefore we suspect that he went and made the blemish, so that now, okay, they could now go ahead and give it to the kohen. Who are they going to give it to? They give it to him. So maybe he did it deliberately himself, and therefore the shepherd that's the kohen, he's not trusted. Now, for hu adin, kohen l'kohen. Now, the same thing actually would be a kohen to a kohen. Meaning, from logic, we could understand that if the shepherd's a kohen, he's not trusted to testify regarding the firstborn animal of another kohen, because here you have the concern, the chashin l'gaimlin, that for payback, where he thinks, okay, look, I'll testify for that kohen now, and then he'll pay me back that when I get from a Yisrael an unblemished bechor, that I'll make the blemish, and then that kohen will testify for me and say, oh no, it happened by itself. So therefore, not only is he not trusted for his master, the Yisrael, he's also not trusted when he's testifying for another kohen. That was the time to come. Now, Vasrib Shimming Ali Lameima, he came to say that, no, Nemanu al shel chaveri, he is trusted regarding his friend, meaning whether it's his master, whether it's someone else, because Kehanim are not suspect regarding anyone else. Rather, ve'ein neman al shel atzmai. He's only not trusted regarding himself, meaning if, let's say, Yisrael had already given him a bechor tam, so regarding himself is where he's not trusted, but regarding someone else, he would be trusted. And then Vasra, maybe the third opinion, maybe he came to say that no, hachashad al adavr, if someone suspect regarding something, meaning Kahanim, that are suspected in this area of the laws of Bechairis, loy danav lemeida, so he cannot educate it, he cannot judge such a thing, and he cannot testify. Which the Gemara later is going to ask, according to this first interpretation, Reb Meir seems to be the same thing as the Tanna Kamma, where both of them are saying that the kohen, that's the shepherd, is not trusted for whoever, if his master is Yisrael or a kohen. So it sounds like he's saying the same thing as the Tanna Kamma. That's the first interpretation. Now, V'chad Amar, however, the other of the two Amaram, that he says that the Mishnah that says that Roy Yisrael are Nemanim, what that means to say is, doesn't mean that the shepherd himself is a Yisrael. It means Roy Yisrael, a shepherd of Yisraelim, I mean the owners are Yisraelim, the Hain Kohanim, and even if the shepherds themselves are Kohanim, that Nemanim, so that then the shepherds are trusted. And the reason why they're trusted is because what's called Mali Lashaka. Why should he lie? It's a Ketin Tamid Beis. Because Meimama, he says, Loi Shavik, this only the Yisrael, he's not going to leave a Kayin that's a Tzuvim Rabbana, that's a Talmudic scholar, V'yavle Didi, and give it to me, because generally shepherds were ignoramuses. He's not going to give it to me anyway. So we don't suspect him. If his master is Yisrael and he's a Kayin, those Roye of Yisraelim, they're trusted, because he's not going to lie. Why would he lie for him? He's not going to get it anyway. Now, whereas Raye, but if someone's a shepherd of the animals of Kahanim, so even if the shepherds are Vehen Yisrael, even if the shepherd is Yisrael, there ain't an Emanim. He's not trusted to testify regarding the firstborn animal of his master who is a Kohen. Why? The Chashin, the Lagima. Because we're concerned for eating purposes, where he thinks, hey, you know, if I'm going to make this blemish, and then my master, the Kohen, is going to be able to use it, so he's going to be giving out food, he's going to have a whole other animal to utilize, and maybe he'll give me, because he gets to keep it himself, he's a Kohen. So they were actually, we are concerned when it's a Roim of a Kohen. Now, V'koshken, Kohen l'Kohen. Most definitely, when we have a shepherd that's a Kohen, and his master, who has the animals, is a Kohen, that they're delight, that we don't trust that shepherd, because the cheshin legayman v'cheshin legima, because there you have two concerns. First of all, we're concerned that, okay, that when he gets an animal, his master will testify for him, give him kickback, because since he testified for him, he'll testify for him. And also that we're concerned for that he'll be able to eat, where if his master has the Bukhar, he'll eat too, so therefore for sure that's not going to work. That's the Tanna Kama. So Shimon came to say, and he's going in the case of a Kohen to a Kohen, and he says that no, even over there by the Kohen to the Kohen, Neman, the shepherd that's a Kohen, is trusted al shel chaveroi regarding someone else, whether it be his master or someone else, because we're not concerned for Goimlin that they're going to kick back and say, hey, I'll testify for you wrongly, you'll testify for me wrongly, or for Legima that, okay, if he has an animal to eat, so he'll feed me the shepherd, I'll get some food. No, we're not concerned for that. It's just ve'ainanim and al shalatzmai. He's only not trusted. A person only not trusted to testify when it's related to his own bechir. Va'asher me'lemeima. And then the third opinion, Meir came to say, no hachashad al adaver. Someone suspect regarding an area in halacha like kahanim who are suspect regarding bechiris loy danoi v'loy me'idai. He cannot be a dayan. He cannot testify. Which Meir is disagreeing with Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon permitted even a kayin that's a raya for a kayin. Now, and Remeir says, no, the Kohen is not trusted regarding anything. And additionally, according to the second interpretation, the Remeir is also disagreeing with the Tanakama, because the Tanakama said that the shepherds of animals of Yisrael, even if they're Kahanim, are Nemanim. Which Remeir is saying, no, that Kahanim that are shepherds are never trusted. So we understand, according to this interpretation, as the Gemara is going to ask right now, that Bishlam Lamandam, we understand according to the second interpretation, in the understanding of the Tanakama, that Raya Yisrael, when the shepherds of Yisrael, and even if they Kahanim, if they themselves are Kahanim, we said Nemanim, that they're trusted because they're going to say, hey, he's not going to give it to me anyway, he's going to give it to me to a Kohen who's a Talmudic scholar. So so we understand that Remeir is coming to say, no, Hachashad al Davar loy donav loy me'ide. Someone who suspects mini Kahanim in the general law of Becheres, they can't judge and they cannot testify. So that's not like Tanakama, who said that yeah, the shepherd that's a Kohen could testify for his master who is Yisrael. Elamanda Amar Roy Kahanim Be Yisrael Einaman. According to the first interpretation that said when we say Roy Kahanim are not Nemanim, is we're saying that if the shepherds are Kahanim, even if the family is Yisraelim, they're not trusted because there we do suspect the Kahanim. So my us Remei Lashmina. So what's Remei coming to tell us? Hanet Tanakama. So then he's exactly the same as the Tanakama, because the Tanakama also said a Kohen is never trusted. He said he's not trusted even if his master is Yisrael, because he thinks, hey, I'll get it. And we said, for sure, a Kohen to a Kohen is not trusted. So that's exactly like your mayor. So it's the Gemara, regarding to the first interpretation from Aman Aleph, we said we're saying the difference between the mayor and Tanakama would be this halacha of Yibishu ben Kufasai. He says, when you have a firstborn animal in the household of a Kohen, so you need two people from the marketplace to testify regarding this blemish that it happened by itself. Now, when he says two people, he means even Kahanim. It's just that Kahanim in the own household cannot go ahead and do that. Now, so therefore, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds the Gibeshu Ben Kafasai, because the Tanakhama said that Roye Kahanim, if the shepherds are Kahanim, and we were talking about specifically regarding shepherds, then we said whether if the owners are Yisraelim or Kahanim, like we explained, that the kind that's a shepherd is not going to be trusted. But it sounds like, but Kahanim from elsewhere, like from the marketplace, would be trusted, even if it's regarding the firstborn animals of Kahanim. And that the Tanakam would hold, we're not concerned for Gaimlin. The only time we are concerned is by the shepherd that's working for the master. And he thinks, hey, I'll testify for my master, and he'll testify for me when I get from a Yisrael, a Bukhari from elsewhere. But Reb Meir does not hold like Reb Yeshua at all. And he says, no, since Kahanim are suspect regarding the laws of the firstborn, he cannot judge and they cannot testify any kind, even the kind of the marketplace. And even if it's a Bukhari in the hand of Yisrael, the kind can never testify. That's a difference between the Tanakhama and Reb Meir. Now, once we introduce the Braisa, the Gemara continues. So that was Reb Yeshua ben Kufasai. He says, no, even the son and daughter of the Kayan, they could testify that the blemish happened by itself, and that's Reb Shimon according to his reasoning, as we quoted before, who he says that the Kayan is Neman al Shechaveroi, regarding someone else, and one's father is also considered Chaveroi, someone else, because a Kayan is only suspect regarding his own Bechar. But if it's his father, or his master, or whatever it is, he would be trusted. Now, Reb Yisim, he says, sorry, even if 10 people are testifying, but Vehim B'nei Vesa, but it's his family members, Eime Eidin Olav, they cannot testify. But as long as it's someone from the Shuk, someone else, then one witness would be trustworthy, and that's the difference between him and Reb Yeshua. Pshua Ben Kafasoi holds that it has to be two people from the marketplace, even Kahanim. But Reb Yisim says, no, it can't be a family member, but it could even be one person from the Shuk to testify that the blemish happened by itself. Now, the Gemara says, Kaman Azla Hada Amr of Chizda Amr of Katina. Now that we introduced this Braisa, so who's the following Amarog statement of Rav Katina going like? Where he says, Safik Bechar Shenol Be Yisrael. When you have a doubtful firstborn animal which is born in the household of Yisraelim, for example, if there was a sheep that didn't yet have children, then it gave birth to two males, which the Gemara had said in the second parak on Yud Zayin Mid Aleph, so we're not sure which one's the Bechar and which one's not. So the Kohen gets one, because definitely one of the two is the firstborn, and the Yisrael gets one. Now, even the one that the Yisrael has is a suffix, it's doubt. Maybe that was the one that came out first. So that's suffix iser, not just regarding suffix mammon. So he has to let it graze until it develops a blemish, and then the Yisrael gets to eat it and keep it himself. But he has to wait until it develops a blemish. So here, and this is a unique case, because here it's where generally the kohen gets the bechor either way, whether it's tam or mum. Here, this is a possible bechor that we have to wait for a blemish, and the Yisrael is going to get to keep it. So on that, he says, Rav Katina, tzorch shnayim en ashuk leheirulav. You need two people from the marketplace to testify that this blemish was not made intentionally, deliberately. So Kaman, which Tanoic statement is he going like? He says, again, Kribi Shuv ben Kofasai, where just like we find that the Bukhari by the house of Kahanim, you need two people from the Shuk to testify, and it also here by the Safik Bukhari in the hands of the Israel, where it's also going to keep by himself, that we suspect, then therefore we have to have two min ashuk, which was that was Kribi Shuv ben Kofasai's opinion. Now, Reb Nachman Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, when you have a Safik Bechor in the Yad of Yisrael, then even that the Bailam Amar Eidin Olav, even the owner himself could testify that the blemish happened by itself. Because only Kohanim are suspected regarding Bechoris, but not Yisraelim, even regarding a Safik Bechor, that they're going to keep themselves and that they're going to eat it. And he explains why. Because if you don't say this, rather you're going to say that the owners are suspect. So then you run into a problem. So it comes out that you have that a Yisrael is suspect regarding making a blemish in the animal. So then, Maisel, Reb Meir, Mi Meir Lov, so regarding the equivalent halacha of Maisel Behemo, Kondre Meir, who's going to testify that, which has an equivalent halacha, that Maisel Behemo, the 10th animal, is supposed to bring as a carbon shlam in the Beis HaMikdash, but if it becomes blemish, so then the owner could go ahead and eat it by himself. Who's going to testify that that blemish happened by itself? But Reb Meir said that whoever suspects regarding an area of halacha cannot testify for anyone. As we see, Reb Meir says that Kahanim, that even from the Shuk, are possible to testify. So here you're saying that a Yisrael is chashed to make a mum. So that means to say that no Yisrael, every Yisrael has that suspicion. So he can't testify even for someone else. So who's going to testify regarding the Maisa Behema? Well, says the Gemara, Maisa, regarding Maisa Behema? No, they're Vada Behemun, you're right, they're even the owner is going to be trusted, and that's because of a migui. The Ibayu, because if he had wanted, Shadi be Muma, he could have made a blemish in the animal permissibly, Bakuli Edri, in his whole flock before it was Taif, where then it didn't have a problem of being sanctified as if it's being Matal Mumba Kachim, and that would have exempted it from before it even started. So therefore, you're right, there we don't suspect, and the owner is believed to say that it's blemished. Ella rather says, the Gemara, if you want to ask, the question of the proof would be, Safik b'chayil Reb Meir, a doubtful b'chayil according to Reb Meir. If you're saying that the owners are suspect regarding it, so it comes out that even Yisraelim are suspect regarding a Safik b'chayil, and for sure Kahanim. Why? Because if you would have an equivalent by the animals of the flock of a Kohen, a Safik b'chayil which is born in his flock, there also the Kohen would have to wait until it develops a blemish, because the Kahanim by their own flock, they're not exempt from the laws of b'chayil b'hem etayra, as the Gemara said, Nafid Gimel Med Alf. They also have the same laws. So therefore, me made a love. Who would testify? Kahanim can't, and even Yisraelim wouldn't be able to. Because you're saying whoever suspects in the area can't testify for anyone. Now, v'chitam, if you're going to say, you're right, hachanami de les leita kanda, that Rimei would hold that there's nothing to do about it. A Savi Bukhar would be forbidden, because no one could testify that the blemish happened by itself. And that's the thing where you can't say that. Because if it's not, we learned in the Mishnah of Yitchesim Abayz, that says, Shahir B'yesi Eimer, B'yesi said, kol shechalifa of biyad kain. Anything that is considered swapped with the hand of a kohen, for example, the case that we just described before, regarding when you have two animals that were born, we're not sure which one, so each one is a safek b'chayr, where we said the kohen takes one, the Yisrael takes one, he has to wait till it develops a blemish. So Rabbi Yisi says, in that situation, pater, the one that the Yisrael has, is exempt min habatamis, from the matnas kahuna, which generally when you slaughter a non-b'chayr animal, the non-kachem animal, you have to give the zroya, the chayim, the keva, the different parts of the animal to a kohen for a regular chulin animal. Says Rabbi Yisi, though, that no, we made eina zeche kezeche, as the Gemara explains in the second parak over there. It's considered like it was swapped with the b'chayr one, and therefore when you have a swap from b'chayr one, then that the swapped one is also exempt from the laws, and it's considered like it was a b'chayr. So if it's exempt from the laws of matnas kuna. But the one thing is that we want to bring is remei or mechai. Remei says no, that it's going to be chayiv, it's considered like the non-Bukhar one, it's going to be considered like chulm, it's going to be chayiv and matnas kuhuna. But one thing we see is from the fact Remeir says, mechayiv matanis, obviously that this Safek Bukhar is being eaten. You're slaughtering it, you have to give the parts to the kohen. How are you eating it? Who's going to testify? You're saying that no one's trustworthy, not even the Yisrael. Selashmamina, that's the proof that Baalim eaten the love. Obviously that the owner, by the Safek Bukhar, could testify, not like... Then this is what Rav Nachman's proof was, not like Rav Katina, that you need Shnayim and Ashuk. Because who would testify? No one could testify, because even the Yisrael cannot testify regarding another Yisrael. Rather, it's because Kahanim hu d'chashid yamumi. No, it's only the equivalent, as we brought in that Braisa, that was discussing by Kahanim. They're suspect regarding blemishes, and therefore then he cannot testify even for anyone else. But Yisrael l'chashid yamumi, the Yisrael is not considered suspect regarding blemishes, even when he's going to be able to keep it, and therefore not only could a regular Yisrael, but even the owner himself could testify regarding the Safek Bechar. Now Itma, we learned, Rav Nachman Amar, halacha, k'rib shimim gamliel, regarding what we had discussed before, regarding who's believed to testify regarding that this blemish happened by itself, shimim gamliel said, even one's own sons and daughters, as long as not the Kohen himself, they're believed to say that the blemish happened by itself. Whereas Rav Amar, he says, no, halacha k'rib yisi, who he says, no, it has to be minashuk. It could be one person, but it can't be a family member, it has to be someone from outside to testify that the blemish happened by itself. On this, the Gemara asked him, Miyama Rabbi Hachi, did Rabbi really say this? That the family members are not believed? But Vama Rabbi said that Bailim, if they're saying that the owner of the firstborn animal, that they're saying that he was standing with us outside, meaning out of the house, and nich nishalma, we saw that the animal went in intact, and it came out harmed with a blemish, that we could testify regarding those that are in the house could say that the blemish happened by itself. So obviously, and this is Rav saying that we don't suspect, the only one we suspect is the kohen who's the homeowner himself, that it's the firstborn animal himself, which is like Rav Shimon. We see that the family members who are inside are believed, as long as the owner is not the one that's testifying. Amos says, the Gemara, no, what Rav was saying was, kol bailim. If the one was testifying, was saying that all the owners, meaning the father and all the family members, they were all imdim, they were all staying with us outside. And he's testifying regarding the shepherd who was in the house, that he was in the house, and that he came out blemished, and that's what's saying b'lei chashino. That then we don't suspect. And therefore, they're trusted to say that it happened by itself. If that's the case, it's a mala member. So what are we saying? That's obvious. Since all the owners are outside, so who would go ahead and make the blemish? What would you say? That we should be concerned for suspicion that maybe the shepherd himself went and made the blemish. So we're saying that no, then we are trusting, as long as it's not the family members, then everyone else is believed to say that the blemish happened by itself, and therefore then it would be permitted to be eaten. Another interpretation Rashi brings is that when the Gemara is saying that, no, what Rav was saying was that if all the owners are outside, in other words, if the witnesses say that all the owners of the firstborn, which is the father and all the family members, were outside, and the Bechor went in intact into the house and came out injured, that we testify, in other words, their testimony is valid and we permit it, since there was none of the members inside the house, which the chiddush in that is that we would think, forget about a shliach, forget about the shepherd, no one was in the house. But the chiddush is, we would think that there's still foul play, because maybe they caused it initially, because maybe they put the animal a dried fig on its ear, and that an animal inside went and made the bite, but that was deliberately caused by them, which would be forbidden. Or maybe they made a pit, and therefore they set a trap, and that's why it came out injured, and maybe then we should suspect, and therefore not permit it. That's the Kamash Malan, that no, if they were all outside, then we permit it. But again, that's still like Rabbi Yasi, that it cannot be trusted based on the testimony of any of the family members. But the Gemara concludes, that anyone but the owner, even the son and daughters, are trusted regarding that the blemish happened by itself. But v'davka b'noi bita, that's specifically his sons and his daughters, aval ishtei loy, but his wife is not, because my time, what's the reason? Ishtei kaguf adami, a wife is like the person himself, and just like the person not believed, his wife is the same thing, and therefore that would not permit the animal to be eaten based on saying that the blemish happened by itself. Now, Amalei Rav Papa Labai says, Lira Meir, according to Rav Meir, that we quoted before, Dama that he says, Hachashad Allah Dava Loi Danav Lemi'idah, if someone suspects regarding something, so he cannot judge it, he cannot testify. Now, become Rav Meir. Meir has another halacha, that he says, Hachashad Dava Echad, Chashal Chad Tarakula, whoever suspects regarding one area in halacha, is suspect regarding the whole entire Torah, so we run into a problem. So Kahanim, Hachanami Dulei Daini Dina, should come out that Kahanim cannot judge any court case. Because you're saying that Kahanim are suspect regarding one area of halacha, regarding that of the laws of Bechayr, and you're saying that one who ever suspected one area is suspecting the whole Torah. Now, the problem is the pasuk says in Devarim, "Val piyam yikol rivachol nega," that based on the words of the Kahanim who are considered the judges, should be all disputes and all laws of negaim. Problem is they're not trustworthy regarding one, and therefore they shouldn't be trustworthy regarding anything. So how did they go ahead and educate any Torah law? And that says the Gemara on top of Lamed Vav Manav. He says, "Eimadam Rav Meir. Wouldn't Rav Meir say his halacha lechashasha to suspect the kahanim lachzakinu, but to be presuming them that they're suspect? Miyamer did Rav Meir say Rav Meir's halacha of being suspect in one area that you're suspect of the whole entire Torah? That was only when they're muhsik that we have it established that he's presumed to violate this halacha. Then he's presumed to be suspect in all areas halacha." But here he's not presumed, it's just that we suspect him, we're concerned, therefore we don't trust him regarding Bechor. But that's not muhsik, and therefore that would not disqualify them from being made and from being done, the dinim, in any other year of halacha, l'chal tarakulah.